Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. 1 hour until pregame, 2 hours until puck drop. And again, the place, if you don't know where to watch the game tonight, Party Foul in Cool Springs. I got the menu if you're watching the stream. I'm literally just throwing it around, whatever have you. But again, Party Foul in Cool Springs is the place to watch it. They'll be giving away lower-level tickets. They want everybody who comes out tonight to wear their gold to help root on the Predators. So there's that.
That's so nice.
I know.
Everyone throw your gold on. Get some hot chicken. Get some beer. It's cool over here.
So I just was...
Cool Springs.
I'm not one to sit here and talk about what happens off the air, but I just, for the first time in a long time, just saw the person who created the Jared and the GM program. And so it was always good to...
So cool.
You know, people that have played an important role in your life. But the Predators right now play a very important role in my life. And it is time now for the three things that we want to see and three things we don't want to see for the Predators tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes. And we start, of course, with the three things we want to see.
Number one,
the Predators get a lead and play with it. The other night, they got that 1-0 lead, and then boom, that weird, odd, just kind of goal. And that those are going to happen. You know, fluke bounces, bad bounces, those things are going to happen.
Goals are goals.
They're goals. But if they get a lead tonight, I need to see them defensively lock it down, just like they did on that Saturday night game at home when they played Carolina. And they got a 1-0 lead, and then it became a 2-0 lead because they locked down that 1-0 lead, got a 2-0 lead. Carolina threw a punch back to make it 2-1. But that's what I want to see tonight is the Predators get control of the hockey game and feel like they are in control of it. Because even though they punched back in game one, it never felt like they were in control of the game until they were just totally out of control at the end.
Number two.
The Do More Crew, which again is Ryan Johansson, Ryan Ellis, Matt Duchesne, Mikhail Granlin, Victor Arvidsson. The Do More Crew needs to do more. Is that simple enough?
I think that works.
The Do More Crew needs to do more. And not only do they need to do more, they need to do more on both ends of the ice. This is not one of those things where we watch how they play in the defensive end and just blame whatever two defensemen are out there on the ice when a goal is scored. That third goal, that was a really great save on the Trocheck shot by Saros, and then they didn't clean it up, and Gudbranson didn't clean it up, and Harper was just kind of... Ryan Johansson was just standing there. Hockey is played in both sides, five on each side. The Do More Crew has got to hold their own defensively. Not just Ellis, who's the only defenseman in the Do More Crew, but Ryan Johansson's got to play a great two-way game. If he's matched up against Sebastian Aho, he's got to do it. Matt Duchesne has to play a good two-way game. Right now, he's not giving them much defensively. We talk about the lack of goals and assists and production because he was brought in to be a productive player, but the truth is, I need to see more from all of these guys on both sides. They can't all be Cali Yarncroak and be solid two-way players. But right now, defensively, I'm worried about the forwards just as much as I'm worried about the defensemen. So I need to see the Do More Crew do more, but not just offensively. We look at Johansson. We look at Arvidsson. We look at those guys. We say, okay, where are the goals? What are they doing on the power play? But defensively, let's not forget, it's five guys. One time I asked Peter Laviolette, when he was the coach, about, you know, the defensemen and what they were doing, and he looked at me, and he just holds his hand up, and he goes, there's five guys playing defense at one time. The Predators need to remember that.
Number three.
They got to out-hit Carolina. Boy, Carolina just socked them the other night. Were you stunned, Caroline, when you saw that Carolina was +7 in hits?
I should be stunned because that is such a high number, but from the looks of it, the game kind of felt like that. It just felt like they were getting sucked in the mouth.
I'm not saying that being, you know, Billy Bad Guy and throwing Matthew Olivier out there is the key to success, because it didn't work in game one, and it really doesn't seem to me like it is the key to success. But they can't get out-hit. They out-hit by 9 Carolina in the one game that they won. And I'm not counting that Pecorine final game, whatever. But they out-hit them by 9 at Bridgestone Arena on that Saturday night. That's what they're going to have to do to win this game. They're going to have to out-hit them. I mean, yesterday, I felt like Carolina got away with everything. Carolina out-hit the Predators in Game 1, 56-49. Now, in the regular season, the hits were coming at, like, you know, the totals of the 30. So it's obvious that the hits are coming. You know, we're talking about 23-14 in the game at Bridgestone Arena, and now we're talking about 50 and 40 hits. I think the Predators need to out-hit Carolina. I'm thinking maybe 50 hits is the number tonight. You know, if they can get to 50 and they can hold Carolina down, they've got to be the more physical team on the ice. They have to out-hit Carolina. And that, to me, is the third thing that I absolutely want to see. And we've talked about physicality right now. The Predators thought they were going to go in there and be more physical. But if put yourself in the Carolina locker room, how physical do you think they really think the Preds are? And how worried do you think they are about the Preds playing a heavy physical kind of game?
Yeah, I don't think they're too worried about it. And if you look at kind of the conversations that have been surrounding both teams, the Predators have hammered physical so much. And yeah, I don't think you're really hearing that from the Carolina side.
No. That takes us to the three things we don't want to see.
Number one.
Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis get dominated by their horses. We saw them get dominated by Winnipeg's horses. We saw them get dominated by Dallas's horses. And now we're starting to see, at least in game one, both of them got dominated by Carolina's horses. Niederreiter, Aho, Teräväinen, Trocheck, Staal, Svechnikov. Trust me, they're not afraid to throw out their top line against the Predators' top defensive pairing. And I know that the Predators wanted to become a more offensive team over the years, and they sacrificed in terms of salary cap space and ultimately bodies when they traded away PK Subban. But the foundation of the Predators is defense. It was that way when Barry Trotz was the coach. It was that way when Laviolette, an offensive guy, was the coach. And if John Hines and these Predators are going to have any chance of winning, it's going to be on defense. We feel good about the goalie. And the goalie played really well in game one. But Josi and Ellis were not very good. And Carolina probably has all the confidence in the world that any of their top three lines could go take advantage of those two guys. And they are both going to have to step it up. And they're going to have to be a legitimate number one pair in the NHL. And not. Adam Vingan wrote an article on The Athletic. And I don't know what analytics he used. And I didn't even understand the numbers. And it's probably all BS anyway.
Not analytics. Not the A word.
No. It's probably all fake anyways, but it basically said that the production that Ellis and Josi have in the regular season doesn't seem to match up in the playoffs. And I when I saw that, you know what I thought? Well, because they're playing bad teams in the regular season, and you don't play bad teams in the playoffs. You play good teams. So what that tells me is Josi and Ellis are good against the bad teams and the run-of-the-mill, the regular Buffalo Sabre kind of guys. But when it comes to, hey, Winnipeg Jets got to have it, Josi and Ellis get pushed around. And I see it with my own eyes. And tonight, that can't be the case.
Number two.
The ice can't be tilted in the Predators' direction the whole night. I mean, this is going to have to be one of those games where momentum's going to be real. And there are going to be moments where it feels like you got to batten down the hatches because the Hurricanes are coming. But the Predators need offensive zone time inside Carolina's area. I mean, like inside Carolina's zone. They need to set up. They need to pass the puck. They need to move without the puck. They need to get shots going, rebounds, crash the net, attack. They need to do that both on the power play, but also in 5-on-5. It felt after the first period Monday night like it was very tilted in the direction of the Carolina Hurricanes. And quite frankly, I just don't think you can have that and survive tonight.
Number three.
And the third and final thing, I don't want to see any guys who stink in the lineup. And I think that Adam Vingan has done it with the more eloquent way of saying replacement level player, which basically equates to a guy who stinks. A replacement level player is a minor league guy. That is, I could go to Milwaukee and I could get that guy today. And I've always said, you never pay a replacement level guy. Even if it's nothing, you never pay a replacement level guy. Because ultimately, you could just replace them with somebody younger, cheaper, and probably more healthy. Erik Gudbranson is a replacement level guy. As in, you can just go get him anywhere. Ben Harper is a replacement level guy. That's why he spent the last year and a half in Milwaukee. And quite frankly, Matthew Olivier is a replacement level guy. I'm okay with Tanner Jeannot, who I think is probably a replacement level guy. I'm okay with him because he's earned his spot. But everybody else, Dante Fabbro is a first round pick. If you expose Dante Fabbro in the expansion draft, he will get taken by the Seattle Kraken because he's not an expansion. He's not a replacement level guy. Tolvanen is not a replacement level guy. Grimaldi, he's probably a replacement level guy. I don't want to see any guys out there who stink. I don't understand the concept, and I get the idea of wanting to be physical, but I don't understand the idea of playing a very talented team and taking talented players off the ice and replacing them with guys who are not as talented and expecting that to give you a better chance to win. I get it in a bottom six capacity, which is if Arvidsson's not healthy enough to go tonight and you roll Cousins out there or you roll Richardson out there, that's a bottom six kind of role. And again, Cousins went for a fourth round pick last year at the trade deadline, so he's worth something to somebody, but I can't see the guys who are Milwaukee level guys out there on the ice and thinking that when Carolina gets the luxury of the last change, thinking that the Predators aren't going to get exposed. It felt like, even though John Hines didn't want to point to it, it kind of felt like those guys got exposed or that lack of talent on the ice got exposed on Monday night. Caroline, your thoughts?
I put on one of my things that I don't want to see, Erica Branson. And I think that may have just been like a more concise way of saying just the guys who aren't very good don't want to see them on the ice. So I completely agree with you there. I thought just the speed, the momentum, and I don't want to come at someone's effort because I don't think that's what it was. I don't think there's any guy on that ice who isn't trying, but it was just slow. And when you're going up against lines like Teravainen and Aho and
Niederreiter.
Niederreiter, that Carolina first line, I mean, you cannot be that slow. So I agree with you there. And I also said I just cannot see that many penalties. And I know that John Hines said, you know, they're kind of nothing penalties. Or there's tripping and whatever it may be. But if you give Carolina time on the power play, they will do something with it. And I think the Predators got very, very lucky Monday night that they went 0-4 on the power play. But I don't think that – I think Carolina is – going to come out on this power play and take advantage of it if the Predators allow them.
You know what's funny is I thought the Predators played kind of, I don't want to say reckless, but like that Cali Yarncroke penalty where they called it an embellishment, I thought that was so stupid.
And I think the Predators got very lucky that they also called embellishment.
Sure, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, they don't call embellishment like that. Like, come on now.
It was a flop.
But they don't call it though. Like that, like usually that's not something that gets called. And I thought it should have just been 2 minutes interference on Yarncroke. But I asked Hines about the penalties after the game, and I think Hines has this way of, without getting in your face, you know, when he'll say, you know, if you look at it, like somebody asked a question one time about Ellie Tolvanen and which side he played on the power play, and Hines told the guy, yeah, if you do your homework, you'll know that in Milwaukee he played on that side, and growing up he played on that side, and Hines said, you know, Jared, if you go back and look at the penalties, if you look at the penalties, and he went over one by one, I thought that was kind of like a little, like a subtle little, hey, Jared, you're dumb. I felt that when I heard that, but I disagreed with it because I thought that they took too many penalties, and I thought the idea of being aggressive was what allowed those guys to think they could play like that. But, again, that's just a disagreement, you know, and I didn't take it personal or anything like that.
And
but,
I saw what he was coming from, you know. They're not these, you know, major boarding penalties that are...
Sure, it's not like a guy's head is up against the board and you take an elbow to it.
Yes, but a penalty is a penalty, and giving Carolina opportunities on that power play, I think, can be detrimental.
Let's get to your phones on it next. Your text and call, 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company, and then what has to happen in order to win tonight, game number two. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That Hiller logo right there on that practice uniform. I just love seeing it because they love the Predators. That Hiller logo will be right there on that ice for game number three. And not only do I love Hiller, but Hiller loves the Predators. And Hiller loves tax credits for energy-efficient home systems, and they're back this year. When you put Energy Star certified equipment in your home, you'll earn a tax credit with the IRS. This month, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is helping you keep more money in your pocket and doubling your tax credit when you purchase select new HVAC systems and tankless water heaters. And they're offering special financing, which means no payments until next year. It's that simple. Visit happyhiller.com for all the details. As always, happy you'll be, or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Earlier this year, a lot of people gave up on the team. You guys never gave up belief. After losing game one, you guys are underdogs. A lot of people probably looked at it and said, okay, this is the series. Carolina is that much better. But what's the belief in the room about the ability to kind of punch back tonight in game two?
Well, there's a lot of belief. And I think, you know, that's part of sometimes it's how you get here, Jared. You know, we had a fight to get here. We had to scratch and claw. We had to play in adversity. We had to coach in adversity. We had to manage in adversity. You had to block out the noise. You have to stick together as a group. You have to stay focused on what you need to do to win. You got to work the right way. You got to have some mental toughness. You got to have some emotional toughness. We didn't get here because we were, you know, the darlings of the league and dialed in through. We get in because we scratched, we clawed, we were mentally tough, we were emotionally tough. We stuck together. We played the game the right way. We believe in what we do. We're a little bit more of a hardened group, you know, whether that's accepting criticism through the year or having to win as much as we had to win and play the way we needed to play to get in. And, you know, we weren't at the level that we needed to be at in game one. Now we got to get to the level that we need to be at in game two. And, you know, our process hasn't changed. You know, we've been through this situation too. I mean, we thought we could have clinched against Columbus, you know, and the world was coming to an end. And then we had to come in and had to beat Carolina to get in. You know, we lost this to Chicago, blew a lead. You know, we came back and we had to put that one to bed and come out and played a really good game. We had to beat Dallas, you know, coming off of a loss. So, you know, we've been in these situations before, and to the group's credit, we've risen to the occasion, and we expect no different tonight.
That was John Hines. They believe tonight. Do you have a thought, or do you want to go to the phones, Caroline Fenton?
To the phones.
We are live at Party Foul once again. If you don't know where you're watching the game, 7 o'clock tonight, wear your gold. Come on out. Register to win a pair of lower-level tickets for game number 4. That's Sunday afternoon. So that will kill two birds with one stone. Where are you going to watch Preds tonight? Party Foul in Cool Springs, Galleria Boulevard. Where are you going to watch it Sunday? You're going to win those tickets. So you're going to be at Bridgestone Arena. Again, it's going to be packed with gold. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text line.
JD texted into the text line and said the Predators have to skate hard for 60 full minutes. It seemed like they got lazy and lethargic in the third period in game one. Slow sticks and slow legs won't win this series.
So I do think that they are going to have to I mean, they're going to have to be able to, and I don't know what it was. They are going to have to be able to skate with Carolina. I mean, I'm not sure they can skate with Carolina, but they're going to have to. Like, they're at a point where that idea that they're exhausted, I mean, Carolina had just as much time off as the Predators had off, but they looked like they were dragging in the third period. I don't think they can do that, get away with it, and expect to have any chance of winning tonight. Because, again, they're a speed team. Carolina is a speed team, and the Predators are not. So that's usually one of those ones where they just say, hey, we're going to outrun you. And that's basically what they did. They outskated the Predators, and those guys were exhausted. They're going to have to find that second gear tonight.
And I think the key, too, is the Hurricanes are not just fast, they're also big.
Yeah.
Ben texted in and said the young guys getting experience would be a great thing for the future of the franchise. The Do More crew, we already know what they are. If they play great for the next three games, I'm still not comfortable keeping the team together. The last thing we need is the next three games to trick David Poile into running this team back next year.
Don't you think that making the playoffs has already done that? I mean, like, my biggest fear, my biggest organizational fear for this team is that they have gotten caught up in the fact that they beat the Chicago Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars for a playoff spot. Again, I mean, I don't want Adam Vingan's one that always brings up the arc, right? 2015, Laviolette takes over the team. They make the first round of the playoffs. 2016, they go to the second round. 2017, they go to the cup final. Then it starts to go back. Second round, first round, bubble, and so it keeps going down, 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 down. Like, I am fully confident in the ability for them to get tricked by making the playoffs, having a strong second half, saying, okay, we got to make some moves, but other than that, this group is fine to go. I mean, right now, if you were to say what's going to happen next season, and that's an off-season question, but I think the Do More crew is pretty much all back, except for maybe Granlin, who's a free agent. But I think Arvidsson's back, Johansson's back, Ellis is back, Duchesne's back. I think they're all back. I think that they've convinced themselves that, hey, David Poile does know what he's doing, which, you know, again, that's a discussion for after all this is over. But I don't think that winning this series is going to trick anybody if they haven't already been tricked.
Another texter said, does Nashville have any chance in this series if they don't find a way to score on the power play? I'm not confident Nashville is capable of winning at 5-on-5 consistently enough against Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to score on the power play. I mean, but then again, I said the other day that all they have to do is be even on special teams. And they were. So maybe, you know, just again, if you can keep them from scoring, I mean, their first power play unit is Trocheck, Aho, Stahl, Svechnikov, and Dougie Hamilton.
Whoa.
So, like, that's their first unit. You keep them off the board, it doesn't matter if you score or not, but yeah. I mean, this
I don't know. If you keep them off the board, it only helps you if you score in the power play.
The inability for them to set up in the Carolina zone Monday night was appalling. I mean, it was just brutal. So, yeah, I mean, the power play certainly has to improve. Speaking of improving, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline's needs to improve. Because somebody got taken to the woodshed yesterday.
Yesterday wasn't a great day for me.
And it wasn't me.
It wasn't a good day
for me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
How am I supposed to know Jason Tatum puts up 50 points?
That's why it's called gambling. One of my friends texted me and said, why is it called Caroline's if she's not so great at gambling? And I said,
okay, there's no such thing as being good or bad at gambling. It's a luck.
Well, I mean, I think there's certainly a bad way to gamble. Like if you go play blackjack and you've got 20 and she's got a 6.
Well, this isn't blackjack.
Right, but
there's no skill to sports gambling. I mean,
I think there's a bad way to gamble on sports. There is a legitimate bad way to gamble. If you were to take if you were to take the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Kansas City Chiefs money line, that's a bad bet.
Well, yes, that is a bad bet.
Okay, so there's a bad way to gamble on sports.
But I don't think the picks that I made yesterday were at the Jags Chiefs level.
I think that the final result tells us the answer.
Oh, please.
Caroline's is next. We're live again at Party Foul. Come on out and register to win those tickets. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I do need to tell you, Nashville SC is the official, or ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of Nashville SC. Listen in on Sunday as Nashville SC takes on Austin FC at Nissan Stadium, pregame 7:45. The match is at 8 o'clock. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, Caroline's week 2, very contested, currently tied at 5-5, although yours truly up 1-0. As far as the week count is concerned, we'll get to that in just a second. We'll make our Preds predictions for Caroline's at the end of Predators game day. Quick call, though. Phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Casey is up next on the Predators game plan. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Casey.
Hey, Jared. So something I noticed last night, or the other night in game one, was besides the very poor lineup, the Preds went back to playing a style of game where they were at the bottom of the standings. They had, what was it, a 0.2% or a 2% chance of getting into the playoffs. And then they started using a lot of stretch passes to negate Carolina's speed. And they won the last two games of the season like that with an 8-1 difference. And then, you know, of course, they went into game one of the playoffs playing the same type of poor play that almost, you know, ended their season early. So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
I don't think Carolina let them do it. Thank you, Casey. I mean, Carolina attacked the demon in the forecheck. I mean, they attacked them. Just absolutely attacked them on the forecheck. And I think that those stretch passes, I'd like to see them. I mean, tonight I'd like to see just get the freaking puck out of there. And that's the one thing where you miss Pekka-Rinne not being in there is Pekka gets out and plays the puck better than UC Saros does, which helps negate a strong forecheck. That being said, it's time for Carolines.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Carolines. Here on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Carolines yesterday, 3-2 for yours truly. Gotta love that. 1-4 for Caroline.
Not great, Bob.
I took the Tampa Bay Lightning. She took the Panthers.
I took the Panthers plus one and a half,
and they lost by two.
I literally said out loud, that's so annoying because I know I'm going to hear it from Jared tomorrow.
Oh, it's fantastic. We both missed on the over. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, she went with the hometown pick. That ended up working.
Was it a homer pick? It was an intellectual pick.
I was wrong on that. I told you, don't trust Russell Westbrook in a big game. She went with the Wizards over the Celtics. Jason Tatum dropped 50.
No. It wasn't Russell Westbrook. It was all Jason Tatum doing something that I didn't think that he would yesterday. Dropped 50.
No. 50. I don't trust Russell Westbrook. Doesn't win big games. And somehow she picked the Minnesota Wild. The Vegas Golden Knights evened up that series. So we're tied this week 5-5, and yours truly currently winning in the overall total. We do not know what Caroline is willing to give up yet, though that will be decided at some point this week. Caroline's, the floor is yours.
Mets Braves tonight. I'm going to rock with the Mets money line. Mets have David Peterson on the mound, and I just feel good about a lefty against the Braves. The Braves have a much better offense than the Mets, but Charlie Morton out on the mound for the Braves, 5.08 ERA. In his last two starts, he pitched a combined 5 1/3 inning. And the Braves have a hurt bullpen, and they don't have a lot of guys in there.
The bullpen sucks.
It's not good. So I'm going to take the better Mets bullpen over a better Braves offense, taking Mets money line. I believe it is Mets -110, but I will check that.
Boy, it was hard watching the Braves just puke that game away last night. I'm going to take the Braves on the money line because I don't think they can afford a sweep here.
Oh, Caroline, pick the Cardinals. She's a homer. Oh.
I just don't think they can afford a sweep here. And Charlie Morton, this may be like his last crack at it because he, as Caroline mentioned, he didn't get out of the first inning two starts ago. He barely, I think, got knocked out in the fifth last. I mean, this is a veteran guy, again, getting swept by the Mets. I think that would put him like 5 or 6 games back. It's getting close to Memorial Day, which is when you start to pay attention to that stuff. I'm going to take the Braves money line just because I don't think they can afford to lose this game. What's next?
This is going to be a very, very good game. We've got Lakers-Warriors, and 3 of the most watched games ever in NBA history were LeBron versus Steph Curry. So this was tough because I know it's going to be a very high-scoring game, so I'm for sure going to take the over. First of all, no defense and 2 of the leading scorers in the league. I'm going to take the Lakers money line, and here's why. I think the duo of LeBron and AD is much better, period, especially in the playoffs. And the Lakers were much more clutch in the playoffs than Steph Curry alone. And I know he's got Draymond, but
Draymond sucks.
Draymond is overrated. So hot and cold, and they've got Andrew Wiggins, but if my duo is AD versus LeBron, or AD and LeBron versus Steph and Andrew Wiggins, I take LeBron and AD every day. And the Lakers won 2 out of the 3 regular season games against the Warriors, and LeBron played in all.
So I'm not accusing the NBA of fixing games, but if there was any league that probably gets the most accused of fixing games, it's the NBA, right?
Yes.
Because we know that it's happened.
I mean, but I'm not saying that they did, but this, I mean, that Lakers-Warriors sounds like a game for the ages, for a play-in game.
They do not want a playoffs without LeBron James.
No.
They don't. And I think you're going to see it reffed accordingly. Lakers -5.5, give it to me. I think the Lakers win, and for no other reason other than the fact that I don't think that league can survive a playoff without LeBron James. So I think the Lakers win, and I think the Lakers get some foul shots there at the end, And I think it's just the way the NBA wants it. Lakers minus 5.5.
Also, so this was a little bit of a tough pick for me. So I went with a lock in my NHL pick for the night. Avs minus 1.5 against the Blues. And there you go. I am not a homer. Avs won 4-1 last meeting. And the Blues were outshot 50-23. I mean, if there is any matchup in this playoffs that is just such a mismatch, it's Blues-Avs. There's also some COVID news around this game.
It's Preds-Canes, but yes.
Well, I think this is worse. I think this is more of a mismatch. I mean, Avs are the favorite to win the Cup, and the Canes very much so could too, but this is just, I feel like it's going to continue being a beatdown, and I would be surprised if this went more than 4 or 5 games. There's also some COVID news around this game, that there may be some guys in or out for some positive COVID tests, but the NHL came out and said that there was an error in the lab, so all of the tests came back negative, and everyone is eligible to play in this game tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Avs on the money line too. I mean, they're just, they're really good, and the Blues are what they are, and I think this is probably going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I agree. What you got for me?
For me, I'm going baseball.
Okay.
I'm taking the Yankees. Money line, minus 177 at the Texas Rangers tonight.
Ooh.
Corey Kluber on the mound, 3.48 ERA versus Hyungjong Yang, who will get the ball for the Texas Rangers. The Rangers are a struggling team. The Yankees have found their stride.
That they have.
After getting booed left and right, the Yankees all of a sudden are 23-19. That's good for fourth in the AL East. They got a lot of room to make up. There's a lot of good teams there. The Rangers 19-25. I just don't think the Rangers are good enough. I think the Yankees are starting to swing the bats. Give me the Yankees minus 177 tonight. I think the Bronx Bombers get it done.
I'll take the Yankees as well. I love myself with Joey Gallo, but I don't feel confident taking the Rangers over the Yankees.
Why do you love Joey Gallo?
He hits home runs.
And we will make our Preds Carolines picks over under money line and puck line coming up at Predators Game Day, which is next. Preds Game Day here on Stillman & Company is next. We're live out at Party Foul again in Cool Springs. They're giving away a pair of tickets in the lower level for Sunday. They want the best Preds watch party tonight. Everybody, wear your gold. Come on out to Party Foul if you're still looking for a place for the game. Do that. Enjoy it. Stillman & Company, Preds Game Day next. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
It's Hockey Night in Smashville.
Deflex back for Duchene. His shot stopped. And the score!
What are the keys to victory tonight? What's being said in the locker room? Where do the Preds reside in the Central Division standings? Jared Stillman has the latest now with Preds Game Day on Stillman & Company. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. This is Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Game number 2, Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. From the RBC Center PNC Center. It used to be RBC back in my day. The PNC Center
back in my day.
In Raleigh, North Carolina. Hey, one of us has put on a championship hat and t-shirt in that arena, and one of us has not.
What? I put on a championship hat and t-shirt in other arenas.
But not that one.
No. I've never actually been to Raleigh. I've heard it's lovely.
That's fine.
Okay.
But I was in that arena on the court, 2009 women's basketball, Elite Eight. We knocked off number one seed Maryland. And I was 19 years old, and I saw the guy with the box of hats and t-shirts, and I was like, come on, give me. Cut down the net right there at the PNC Arena tonight at 7 o'clock. But it's not about me. It's about the Predators tonight as they are down 1-0 in this series against the Carolina Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes and the Predators shared an AHL affiliate this season, the Chicago Wolves, and 18 players on a Nashville contract suited up for that Chicago team this season, including Tanner Jeannot and Alex Carrier. The one roster move the Predators made was bringing back Philip Tomasino from AHL Chicago, though he will not play in tonight's game. We start with the coach's take from Coach John Hines about being ready to go for game number 2.
Well, we feel like we're ready to play. I think there's certain things we take out of that game that need improvement, but I think you also have to look at some of the components in it where we did some really good things. And, you know, in general, to a man, I think we all know that our team game's got to be better and a lot better individual performances throughout the lineup. So, you know, I think the players you know, take a lot of pride in what they're doing. I think we had some good meetings, good skate today, and, you know, we have a pretty focused group, so we got to come out and execute now.
John Hines says they're ready to go. Caroline Fenton, we do not know what the lineups will look like tonight. However, John Hines said that there will be changes, both performance-related and injury-related. What do you make of that?
I mean, they need to. Just the lineup on Monday, see what he was doing there. He was trying to be bold and trying to match what he thought the Carolina Hurricanes would bring, but it just didn't work. So I need to see some sort of roster change. Ideally, I would love to see Ellie Tolvanen out there. I've said that from the beginning. I think he could seriously contribute on the power play. And like we had said before, I'd love to see these young guys out there because they were the ones that got the Predators to this point. So first, I think they deserve a chance to win or to play in the playoffs, and also just setting this team up for success in the future, letting them get that playoff experience.
For the Predators in Game 1, the Predators moved to 9-12 all-time in Game 1. That's not good. They're 0-11 when they don't win a Game 1. They're 6-7 on the road. It was the first ever one between these two teams. UC Saros made 33 saves in his fifth career playoff start. Alexander Carrier, Tanner Jeannot, Matthew Olivier, Yakov Trenin played in their first career playoff games. And Trenin led all Preds players in hits with 7. Carrier earned his first playoff point with an assist on an Eric Halla goal. One point or one item of note, as we've been talking about, is the Do More crew. And tonight, that includes Ryan Johansson, Ryan Ellis, Matt Duchene, Mikhail Granlund, Victor Arvidsson. Challenged by coach John Hines, they are expected to play better today. What do you expect out of the Do More crew and the guys that John Hines challenged?
I don't know what to expect from the Do More crew. I think there's one in particular, Matt Duchene. I could see him coming out tonight and having a really big game. I also mentioned Ryan Ellis earlier. I like the separation of Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis. I don't think that he works in a first-line pair, especially with that Carolina Hurricanes first line. I'd like to see Ellis and Ekholm, and I'm hoping that he would produce more with Matias Ekholm. But from the rest of those guys, I think we've kind of seen what they are.
Meanwhile, it's time now to make our official picks on tonight's game. We've got the money line. We've got the puck line. And we've got the over-under. Caroline Fenton, what is the money line, the puck line, and the over-under tonight?
Puck line is 1.5. Preds plus 1.5, minus 162. Hurricanes minus 1.5, plus 134. And this money line kind of surprised me a little bit. Preds money line is plus 176. So not crazy odds there.
No.
Hurricanes money line minus 210. Over-under is 5.5.
5.5, okay. What's your final score? Who wins and why?
Ooh, I'm going to take the Preds plus 1.5. I think the final score is 3-2 Carolina.
Really?
Yeah.
Why'd you pick 3-2 Carolina?
I think they have a serious advantage in Raleigh, but I think it's a much closer game because of the lineup that's going out tonight.
So,
and I want so badly to be wrong. I wanted so badly to say 3-2 Predators. I just don't think I quite could.
So, you see what I've written down right there?
Whoa!
I'm going to go with a 3-2 final as well. And I'm going to take Carolina to win tonight.
We didn't even talk about that before.
We had no talk about it at all whatsoever. I am taking the under. I am taking the Predators plus 1.5. And I am taking the Canes on the money line. I think Carolina gets it done 3-2 tonight. Here's the one question that I had going into this series that wasn't completely quelled. And we talked a lot on Monday night about the idea of, okay, this guy was in the lineup, that guy was out of the lineup, this guy. I just don't know where the Predators are going to score goals. Like, I'm worried defensively about Ellis after he got manhandled in Game 1 by Carolina. I'm worried about Josi after the way he played in Game 1. I just don't know where the Predators are going to score goals. Forsberg had one the other night. That was nice. But unless somebody gets hot, like a Granlund or a Yarncroke or Tolvanen gets put back in the lineup, I just don't know where they're going to score goals. I think Carolina's got the firepower. I'm going to take the Canes 3-2. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We will be back tomorrow at 2, live from Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue with your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 3 and Game 4. Thanks to Party Foul for having us out here in Cool Springs. Again, if you don't know where to watch the game, stop on by. The watch party starts at 7. They want everybody wearing their gold, and you can register to win. You must be present, but you can register to win a pair of tickets to game number 4 in the lower level. You can register to win. They will be fantastic seats. They will have a great time. That will do it for us. We are out of here. We will see you all tomorrow at 2. Darren McFarland is next with the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game.